At one time or another, I think we've all come to an end point of our tolerance level with certain people. Like, if he says that one more time, I'm going to scream. If she does that to me again, I'm going to walk right out that door. If you kids don't quiet down by the time I count to three, I'm going to lock you in your room for the rest of the week. We've all been there, right? Now, we may not carry through with our threats, but the fact remains that there are times when our nerves get frazzled with people and our patience gets exhausted. And depending on our personality and the situation and circumstances and relational history with the person that is testing our patience, we can have varying degrees of tolerance for a person's annoying, agitating, or even angering behavior. Our fallen human nature causes us to be less than perfect at how patiently we can endure with certain people. But God's level of patient endurance is always supremely higher than ours. I'm glad for that. Because it's part of his very nature to be slow to anger. That's just part of the substance of who he is. Aren't you glad that we serve a God of long suffering in his dealings with us? Psalm 103:8 encourages us along these lines from the Amplified transliteration. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in compassion and loving kindness. Aren't you glad for that? Now, we can come to understand the patient, long-suffering of God by looking at how he dealt with his relationship with the people of Israel in the Old Testament. These were about as exasperating as anybody could be as a group of people. Yeah. And it was never more evident than when Moses lingered on Mount Sinai, receiving the Ten Commandments from God's hand, get the picture, and because it took him a little longer than they had anticipated, they got a little impatient and edgy. Ever been there? Demanding that Aaron fabricate for them new gods of gold to lead them to their promised land. Anybody get a little impatient or edgy with God's timing in your life? Even when God has said, this is what I'm going to do with you. But you're getting a little impatient and edgy about his timing. And so you start to re-strategize to make it happen. It was absolutely inexcusable behavior, especially since God had performed one miracle after another to deliver them from their bondage, bringing them to that place of promised freedom. And yet they turned their backs on him, catch this now, when he didn't meet their expectations in their time. Anybody here ever been there? I think that would be enough to test anyone's patience. And it certainly severely tested God's patience. Exodus chapter 32, verses 9 to 10 describes it like this from the Amplified transliteration. The Lord said to Moses, I have seen and heard this people. And in spite of my goodness towards them, catch that, in spite of my goodness towards them, behold, they are an obstinate and stiff-necked, stubborn, rebellious people. So now, therefore, let me alone, Moses. Do not interfere, Moses, so that my anger may burn against them, and that I may destroy them. These are God's people. It's a little bit sobering, isn't it? But then in verses 11 to 14 of the same chapter, Moses prayed and asked the Lord to stay his hand of punishment, and God answered his prayer. But I thought God told him not to interfere. God said, Moses, leave me alone. Don't interfere. And Moses thought, I wonder if this is interfering. But he asked the Lord to stay his hand of punishment. God answered his prayer. The people deserve to be punished. But God delayed the application. Catch this now. God delayed the application of his righteous indignation against them. And that is the essence of long suffering. Delayed, deserved punishment. Delayed, deserved punishment. Let's say that together. Delayed, deserved punishment. Now, I got to looking into the Hebrew root words for the word long-suffering. And the word long-suffering is actually a composite of two Hebrew root words. The first Hebrew word means long or slow. Pretty simple. The second Hebrew word, according to Strong's Concordance, means, catch this now, nostril, nose, face, or anger. And so the inference of the word long-suffering from the Hebrew, catch this now, is that anger can be seen on a person's face and is sometimes expressed by snorting or wheezing through the nose. Anybody ever get that angry? But the primary implication of the word long-suffering literally means slow to anger. Slow to anger. Slow to snorting and wheezing through your nose while you're angry. Simply put, it takes a long-suffering person a long time to get heated up with anger. The same expression appears in the New Testament as one Greek word. And it conveys exactly the same idea as the Old Testament expression, meaning long-tempered or slow to express wrath. And so God's long-suffering has more to do with when he meets out his wrath. Not whether or not he's going to mete out his wrath, but when he's going to mete out his wrath. His nature is to delay the expression of his wrath because he is the God of long endurance with sinful people. Isn't that amazing? Those obstinate Israelites deserved to be destroyed immediately. Anybody feel like that about another person? Lord, they deserve your punishment. They deserve to be destroyed, Lord. They were an obstinate people. They deserved to be destroyed immediately for the unrelenting, rebellious disobedience. They would have driven anybody else to a quick retaliation. But God postponed the execution of his judgment because he is a long-suffering God, longing and waiting for people to repent.
Amen. Amen.
That's the in the meantime. In the meantime, as he's staying his hand of punishment, he's longing and waiting for people to repent. That's his heart motivation for staying his hand of punishment in the lives of sinful people. Now understand that there's a difference between God's long suffering and his mercy. Sometimes the two get a little bit confused. God's mercy and long-suffering are similar in one way, in that they both involve God's restraint towards sinful people. But there's a distinction, catch this now. His mercy relates to easing the misery of the sinful consequences in the life of a person who is repentant. Catch that. In the life of a sinful person who is repentant, there's still consequences for your sins. Amen? Well, God's mercy eases the misery of sinful consequences in the life of a person who is genuinely repentant. While his long suffering relates to bearing patiently with our sinfulness, waiting and longing for us to repent. Amen? Make no mistake about it. Our sin is ultimately an offense to God's holy nature. And His perfect justice requires that sin be punished. But at the same time, His perfect love is longing to forgive us. And His perfect grace through the atoning work of Jesus Christ on the cross makes it possible for us to be forgiven. Aren't you glad for that? Even though we don't deserve it, Jesus took the punishment of our sin upon Himself. Thank you, Lord. His perfect mercy is reaching out to us with compassion over the consequences that our sin has caused us. His perfect long-suffering is delaying the punishment we deserve for our unrepentance, giving us ample opportunity to repent. What a magnificent God we serve. Amen?
Amen.
Second Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says it like this from the Amplified transliteration. The Lord does not delay as though He were unable to act. And He is not slow about His promise as some count slowness. But He is being extraordinarily patient toward you, not wishing for anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Amen? The patient long-suffering of God is the attribute which causes Him to patiently endure our offenses as He's calling us to repentance, rather than promptly punishing us. It's God's perfect self-restraint in the face of provocation which delays the expression of His wrath. Amen?
Amen.
Now, we all know how much it takes at times to show restraint when people are provoking us. And depending on the situation and circumstances and who is involved, sometimes we can feel as though we may not have the power to restrain ourselves. Anybody here other than me ever feel that way? But God has that power. The prophet Nahum put the two together when he said from Nahum chapter 1 verse 3, the Lord is slow to anger and great in power. And the good news for us as born again believers is that we have the power of God through the Holy Spirit in us. Amen?
Amen.
To help restrain us.
Hallelujah.
When we're being provoked to anger.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen?
Amen.
Well, we just have to tap that power. Be alert and attentive enough to get to it before we lose it.
That's right.
Make no mistake about it. Within God's patient long-suffering, there is a challenge for both the unbeliever and the believer. For the unbeliever, the very fact that long-suffering is defined as a delay in the expression of God's wrath implies that eventually His long-suffering will end and His wrath will be displayed. According to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 to 15. Look that over this week. This highlights another difference between long-suffering and mercy. The mercy of God is everlasting. According to Psalm 106, verse 1.
Hallelujah. Amen.
But the long-suffering of God has an end point.
That's right. Yeah. That's true.
And so there comes a time when the patience of God does run out with unrepentant, willfully rebellious unbelievers. And He will propagate His just wrath upon them. And a final judgment day is coming when God's wrath will be revealed. Suffice to say, the message of God's impending judgment is not a popular topic today. Or ever has been. It doesn't calm troubled minds or soothe frazzled nerves. It doesn't win friends or ingratiate us with people. But yet it is absolutely true and necessary to communicate. The person who has never turned from their sin to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord must not be misled. The person who has never turned from their sin to trust Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord must not be misled by the patient suffering of God. The patient long suffering of God is not a license to go on sinning. But rather, it's the real-time evidence of God's love for sinners and His desire to see them saved from eternal punishment. Amen?
Amen.
Bottom line, the patient long-suffering of God is meant to lead them to repentance and eternal life.
Amen. Yes.
Romans chapter 2, verse 4 reads it like this from the Living Bible translation. Don't you realize how patient God is being with you? Or don't you care? Can't you see that He has been waiting all this time without punishing you? In order to give you time to turn from your sin? His patient, loving kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. Amen?
Amen.
Now, within God's patient long suffering, there is also a challenge for us as believers. A challenge to pray for those who, in their proactive, unrepentant sinfulness, deserve God's judgment. And yet, praying for them like Moses did, for God to restrain His punishment, as we long to see that person come into a right relationship with God. Do you long for people in your life to come into a right relationship with God? Is that the motivation of your prayer for them? Because if it is, then part of your prayer would be that God would stay His hand of punishment upon them. Just as Moses prayed for the people of God of his time. As believers, we are challenged to share the message of God's patient long-suffering with the people around us. They need to hear that God is patiently waiting for them to turn their lives over to Him, but that His patience will eventually end, and then it will be too late for them. Our nation needs to hear that God is graciously restraining His wrath against the increasingly worsening of our sins as a nation. And that one day before the throne of God, the cup of our national iniquities will be full. And He will restrain Himself no longer. And His bowls of wrath will be poured out. According to Revelation chapter 16. Check that out this week. It's probably not the most popular chapter that people would read in their devotion time. But not any less necessary. As unpopular as the message may be today, it must be proclaimed lovingly and caringly, because it's a matter of eternal life or eternal death. Now, I came across this illustration. If we knew that a dam had cracked and that a great torrent of water would soon sweep through the valley below, destroying everything in its path, wouldn't we be quick to warn the inhabitants of that valley? The fact of the matter is that we do know that the dam of God's long-suffering will one day give way. And that a great torrent of judgment will be poured out on the inhabitants of this earth. And so should we be any less quick to warn them? Since we don't know exactly when that day will come. Or how close we are to that day as we speak. As professed believers who are to be ambassadors for Christ, the patient long-suffering of God challenges us to be patient and long-suffering in our own personal relationships with others. This is where the rubber really hits the road for us. Bearing with one another in love and forgiving one another, according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, and Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 13. Check it out this week. But even so, it's inevitable that at times people will get on our nerves. Even some of our own brothers and sisters in Christ. At times they will irritate us and exasperate us. At times they will even slight us or provoke us or gossip about us or wrong us or offend us. And at times they may mischaracterize us to others so that they can appear better than they really are. Especially when you've patiently endured with someone and there's no material change in how they're doing things. Our patience can wear thin. But God, by His Word and by His Spirit, is urging and encouraging each of us afresh today to be patiently long-suffering in dealing with those interpersonal difficulties. Most of the time, it's easier said than done. We'd rather just avoid it. That's the easy thing to do. Just avoid it. And it's certainly not something we can do consistently in our own strength. But thankfully, as Spirit-filled, born-again believers, God has provided us with the fruit of the Spirit, one of which is patience. According to Galatians 5:22. Patience. Which is not so much about having the ability to wait patiently, but catch this now, it's more so about what our attitude is and how we act while we're waiting. As we grow in our experiential knowledge of Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord, by setting our minds consistently on the Spirit and yielding ourselves to His control. Amen? That we might subscribe to walking at all times in the Spirit, bearing the fruit of the Spirit along the way. Amen?
Amen.
The ways of the world may not consider patient long-suffering to be a very valuable trait. But the believer who has demonstrated it to others will tell you that it has brought the invaluable result of harmony into relationships. It helps us to get along with our spouse. It helps us to handle our children. It helps us to put up with our boss or to deal with our employees. It helps us to enjoy our in-laws. It helps us to show our neighbors, catch this now, that the gospel of Jesus Christ indeed makes a tangible difference in our lives. As we grow in the likeness of our patient, long-suffering God, we show the world that He is real, and so bringing glory and honor to Him. Amen?
Amen.
Bow your heads now and take a quiet moment of prayer reflection to the word of the Lord as it's come to you today.